This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Friday's headlines, and we begin with the economy, which contracted at a slower-than-expected pace in the second quarter, according to the earliest estimates released by the Commerce Department. They say the nation's gross domestic product declined at an annual rate of 1% in the second quarter, which stretches from the beginning of April to the end of June. That's less than the shrinkage in the first quarter. At that time, the decrease was 6.4%, according to numbers recently revised by the department. The GDP is considered the broadest measure of economic activity, and some economists say today's report could indicate the recession is getting close to an end. Of course, these numbers were seen as good news over at the White House. President Obama says the numbers show we're heading in the right direction.
And that business investment, which had been plummeting in the last several months, is showing signs of stabilizing. This means that eventually businesses will start growing and they'll start hiring again.
And Obama says that's the key. He says he won't be satisfied until many more jobs are being offered to people.
I am guardedly optimistic about the direction that our economy is going, but we've got a lot more work to do.
Meanwhile, Vice President Joe Biden says the federal stimulus package has saved people from what he calls a deep black hole. Speaking at the National Urban League annual conference in Chicago, the vice president said the $787 billion stimulus package has slowed down the recession, adding, quote, "less good is not good, but less good is better than worse. When I say less good, I mean less bad." The Urban League event was scheduled to look at several topics, including getting through the housing crisis. Plenty of other analysis of these latest gross domestic product numbers, though. The top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas, says the apparent improvement from the first quarter to the second quarter is misleading because he says a lot of that is based on excessive government spending. He says a lack of job creation and increasing government spending is no basis for a long-term economic recovery. Brady was also busy as a member of the House Ways and Means Committee on Friday, the final day of business before members of the House of Representatives head off for their month-long summer recess, not to reconvene again in Washington until after Labor Day. Today, that panel passed a more moderate version of Democratic health care legislation that is expected to be overruled by the entire Democratic caucus when they decide which version to bring to the floor after Labor Day. Also on Friday, the House of Representatives passing a very hastily crafted bill to pump another $2 billion into what's known as the Cash for Clunkers program.
On his vote, the yeas are 316 and nays are 109. The bill is passed.
The $1 billion car purchase rebate program, which is only about a week old, has been so popular that it's already running on fumes. Most here in Washington expected that the $3,500 to $4,500 rebates would last until sometime in November, but they lasted less than a week. The program gives consumers incentives to trade in old gas-guzzling vehicles for new fuel-efficient models. You just heard the House vote was overwhelming. The Senate is expected to follow suit sometime early next week. However, there were those on the GOP side who were not happy with this idea, including Arizona Republican Congressman Jeff Flake, who wants to know why the U.S. government continues to keep bailing out the auto industry while other sectors of our economy continue to struggle without any federal assistance. Also today, the House of Representatives approving a bill aimed at curbing excessive executive salaries and bonuses, primarily on Wall Street. The legislation responds to growing public rage over executive pay and bonuses at struggling financial companies that have received government bailouts. The measure covers top executives at publicly traded financial firms. It gives government regulators authority to prohibit salary practices that provoke so-called inappropriate risks. Additionally, shareholders would be allowed to hold non-binding annual votes on executive salaries and bonuses. The House Financial Services Committee, led by Chairman Barney Frank, spearheaded this legislation, and among those in support of it, Frank's fellow Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern.
Middle-class Americans on Main Street are struggling to hold on to their jobs. They have seen their wages stagnate while their costs have skyrocketed. Meanwhile, over on Easy Street, things are great.
But Texas Republican Congressman Pete Sessions says while there needs to be some oversight for Wall Street, this legislation goes way too far.
We all agree that we need to curb abuses of the past and to promote responsible approaches to executive compensation. But this bill provides unprecedented government intervention in the free enterprise system.
Meanwhile, CEOs of major corporations aren't getting a free lunch at the White House either. Politico.com reporting the White House billed four titans of industry after a meal last month with the president. Staffers collected credit card numbers from each of the four executives and charged them for the cost of the luncheon. The White House says it's a way to avoid conflicts of interest. No comment about the cost or what was served when the heads of Xerox, Coca-Cola, AT&T, and Honeywell International lunched with the president. A White House spokeswoman said guests are asked for reimbursement from time to time to comply with tough ethics rules. The George W. Bush administration did not charge for meals with the president. They were covered as official entertainment expenses. Elsewhere in Washington, longtime Connecticut Senator Christopher Dodd announcing on Friday that he has been diagnosed with prostate cancer.
As a result of that annual physical, something called a PSA test, a spiked up, was an elevated test. And as a result of that, it was recommended I have a biopsy done. And the biopsy came back and confirmed that I had prostate cancer.
Dodd, who is 65 years old, says he has elected to have surgery to remove his prostate, and he will have that done over this coming congressional recess in the month of August at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York City. He says he will be lying low for a while after that surgery, but looks forward to being back to a vigorous schedule here in Washington and, yes, running for re-election next year to a potential sixth term in the Senate in 2010. Bottom line, Dodd says he looks forward to getting back to his usual schedule.
And so the good news is I'm going to be back out and doing all the things you have to do in order to represent my state and carry on the efforts we're engaged in.
Dodd was first elected to Congress in 1975, elected to the Senate for the first time in 1980. American forces have suffered their worst losses yet in the Afghanistan war. With the death of two soldiers on Thursday, the July death toll among U.S. troops in Afghanistan is up to 41. That's well over the previous record monthly death toll of 26 recorded last September. The military says the latest casualties occurred in a firefight with insurgents in southern Afghanistan. The area is known to be a Taliban stronghold and the center of Afghanistan's opium production. Thousands of U.S. and British troops are pressing into the area to quell resistance ahead of crucial presidential elections on August 20th. Operation Khanjar is the name of that concerted effort in the southeastern portion of Afghanistan, Helmand Province in particular, to root out the Taliban insurgents as well as potentially secure some of that opium crop away from terrorist production. On Wall Street at the end of the week, the Dow Jones rising 17 points Friday to close at 91.72, the Nasdaq off 6 to 19.79, the broader S&P 500 managing a one-point gain to close at 9.87. That's a look at Friday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.